Hello and welcome to the sound files of Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary. I'm Mike Swinson. This file details the winter track walk. It's a fairly short walk that takes you towards the cave site, that's if you choose to go further. The walk starts near the interpretation site and slowly heads up the hill. By the way, in case you hadn't noticed, there are toilets here where the walking track starts. I'll let Heather Chauncey take you on the journey.
It's about a 45-minute walk, the winter track, you know, if you're not hurrying and stop and look at things. We put it in as a nice, easy walk, as I say, so people didn't have to cross the creek in winter. It does get a little muddy in a few places, but it's quite an easy walk and warm and pleasant up on this slope. There's plenty of wildlife up here in winter. A bit dry in summer, but still quite a nice, easy walk for people to do. We're just starting here on the winter walk. We planned this walk for when the creek's too high to cross easily. There's a nice warm walk in winter up on the slope. This area, just at the beginning of it, is where the original Masterman house was built. It was only a wooden structure, but it did have brick chimneys, and you can see little depressions in the ground to the side here where most of it was originally built. It was taken down after they sold this section of land, just keeping Uncle Kay's section over by the house. And the chimney was then used by various people in the district, told me that they had, you know, bricks from the chimney were used to build their own fireplaces, which before that hadn't had brick fireplaces. The reason we have such a large number of silver wattles in this area is because the place, this part of the countryside had been cultivated, and of course the first things that come up are bracken and the second things that come up are silver wattles, and silver wattles do very well around here. They're mostly only down in the lower part of the valley. As we go up the walk, you'll find we move from silver wattle to black wattle, and we move out from the Viminalis up to the peppermint country just up on the hill. But of course, if you have cultivated some of the land and then leave it, first thing that's going to come up is masses and masses of silver wattles.
There are a number of interesting things to see and experience on this walk, and the first one is an old and pretty dilapidated devil enclosure, as Heather explains.
This rather strange little wire structure was a devil enclosure. Parks and Wildlife used to give us devils that were disabled, had been maimed in traps or on the road. We had two or three of them here. Usually they only had three legs and obviously couldn't manage in the bush by themselves. And they just lived quite happily in there. We'd toss in meat for them and water them. And they would just sort of lie around in the sun. They're not very active animals unless they have to be. Mind you, most wildlife isn't very active unless it has to be.
Up the track a bit from the devil enclosure, you'll find a rough bush seat where you can sit and contemplate the scenery around you.
This is a rather nice little seat that the Green Corps put in as you get near the top of the hill. Nice view down across the valley there. Green Corps did a really good job, I think, on this track. They've been very helpful up here. We've had them up quite often various times over the years. This slope is a very nice one for orchids in spring. You get all the small ground orchids coming up here all the way through from sort of September right through until about the end of November, beginning of December, depending on how dry it gets. And you can see from here that your eucalypts have changed now. They've got up among the peppermints. And we've still got some silver wattle, but mainly it's young peppermints all coming up all the way through here. Well, the only fires we've ever had on the place were the two that were deliberately lit, one in 80, one in 81. So basically you don't get much fire here unless somebody lights it in the bottom of the valley. That's where there's a big danger, and then it comes straight up the slopes. Any fire that comes in from the back anywhere around or on top of the slopes burns down very slowly, will usually burn out. You're likely to see quite a lot of the Big Bennet's wallabies up here. They like this, particularly in winter. This is a place where they come up and sit in the sun because it's a nice warm slope, gets sun most of the day. There's usually plenty of feed up here in winter, and they're all sitting around, lying about. You also get echidnas up here a lot. Early spring and late autumn, they're rootling around up here after ants. As I say, you get orchids in spring, a lot of small orchids through here. There's some quite interesting liververts and mosses as well, but they're quite hard to distinguish unless you really know your mosses and liververts very well. We had an expert up here who listed them all and got very excited about one. It's not a very exciting looking little plant and quite hard to find unless you know what you're looking for. Yes, you get, of course, quite heavy amounts of lichen on the wattles, particularly on those that are not doing very well or are dying off. You can usually tell the wind direction from where the lichens are hanging. They sort of hang on the other side of the wattle or the other side of a tree generally. Not so many perhaps right up here, but plenty of them on the way up. And you get those patches of white lichen all the way up the bark of some of these wattles around here.
Up the track, towards the top of the slope, if you're beady-eyed, you'll spot a pile of rocks on the right-hand side of the track. Now, just pause here for a moment and take yourself back in time around World War I. For some inexplicable reason, the Mastermans decided to build a house here, nowhere near water, nowhere near good soil, but with a great view down the valley towards Baghdad. Can you imagine the kids being told to pick up rocks, children, and pile them here? We will need hundreds, if not thousands, of rocks to build our house.
This rather strange little pile of rocks is the site the Mastermans had decided to build their permanent house. They got the kids to start collecting the rocks up, but the idea didn't last for very long because they found it was too expensive. Trying to have the children at boarding school, as money was not coming through during the First World War, mail wasn't coming through either. So they'd moved back to town and in fact built a house out past Berrydale, Montrose Way. But this site here was going to be a house site. It would have been a very nice house site, nice sunny, good view all round. I don't quite know I suppose you'd have had tanks for water and things. Wouldn't have been easy to build here because the stones you can see all about you are, you know, all the way through the ground here, and it would have been quite a difficult job, I think. But as a house site, it would have been quite nice. I think my unfortunate grandmother had a really big shock. I think the whole Tasmanian experience was rather a shock to her. They'd come from a upper middle-class Edwardian existence in England, big house, plenty of servants. Children only sort of lived in the schoolroom and the nursery and came down for afternoon tea if there weren't people visiting, you know, in their best bibs and pinafores, and went for Sunday walks after church with the parents. And to suddenly come out here, they were living in Sandy Bay before they moved up here, but moving up here must have been about the final straw for her. The children all complained that, you know, mother used to have headaches and put her head in a scarf. Well, I think I'd have had a headache if I'd come to this. She had to do and look after everything here. She'd never done anything like that. No idea really of housework, cooking, anything of that sort. She'd never had to do it. It wasn't something you did. Neither, I may add, did my grandparents when they came out.
I'll leave you to contemplate what life must have been like for Heather's grandmother as you wind your way further along the track to where it meets the track to the caves. When you get to that spot, you can keep going down to the track beside the creek. I hope you've enjoyed your walk today through the Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary. At the completion of the winter track, you might like to visit the family home Day Dawn, but please remember that a booking is necessary and a small fee is required. Thanks for sharing time with us today, and a safe journey home.